It's 4 o'clock. Get ready for everything under the sun. Support for KDNK comes from Mountain Groove Productions and Brownsville Presents, featuring the Wailers, with bassist and founder Aston Family Man Barrett and joined by original Wailers guitarist Junior Marvin and Donald Kinsey. The Wailers play January 20th at 8 at the Youth Theater in Rifle. Tickets are available at brownsvillepresents.com. Well, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, and joining me today for Everything Under the Sun, our call-in show with Soper Sun editor Will Grandbois and usually reporter Megan Tackett. Will's with me today. Hi, Will.
Howdy. I believe Megan is en route.
Is she?
Okay. In fact, I think I just saw her run by, so we should have her
okay,
in a second.
She should be here any second. Well, today is the... Here she comes. I hear that door a-slamming. It's coming round the bend or whatever. Anyway, the paper is great.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it's really great. You want to get a little closer to that mic.
Okay, I'll do
that's
that.
That's perfect. Yeah, it's really, really great. You've been putting out some good papers lately. January's a good month for news, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we like the event coverage and everything we do in the summer and in December, but this is giving us a chance to sort of take a deep breath and look a little more deeply into some issues. And yeah. Megan did that in spades this week. And,
good job, Megan.
I got to tackle some questions about the mail that I've been hearing around town for a few weeks here.
Yeah,
so.
Well, we'll be talking about that. Megan Tackett is here. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Excellent.
Make yourself comfortable here. Well, I'd like to start, I've been trying to avoid bronchitis this week, so I'm a little, but
everyone.
I'm not sick. I'm okay. Megan, you took a look at pay inequality.
Yes.
This is an intense issue. And just some light reading here for us. And then some interesting news about SANE and River Bridge in Glenwood Springs. But let's start with your story about pay inequality. Why did you decide to delve into this?
I was very surprised to come across some numbers. I don't know if you remember, but several weeks ago, we did a piece just on sexual harassment in the workplace and talked to some major employers.
Another light.
Right? Talked to some of the bigger employers in the area and just to explore what kind of policies they had in place. And in order to identify that, I wanted to see, you know, was there a correlation between industries that, you know, unfortunately, sexual harassment just more typically is predominant in. Mm-hmm. And did those industries also then correlate with major employers here in the Valley? So in order to find that industry information, I came across Data USA and saw those numbers regarding income and was quite frankly really taken aback.
So is there any correlation between the industries in which sexual harassment is more prevalent and pay inequality?
Ooh, good question. I did not see that.
Oh, that's part three. Huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You just inspired our next piece.
So what did you find?
So I really like numbers because they tell an interesting story.
They do.
The discrepancies between pay, I don't want to make any assertion that there's just outright nefarious sexism going on, right?
Okay.
I think it's much more systemic than that. And it kind of becomes this chicken and egg question. A lot of people, especially when I started talking to people about this story, their response was, well, women typically go into fields that just have lower compensation than men, to which I would respond, well, is that really the case, you know, and do women tend to go into lower paying occupations, or are occupations lower paying because they have traditionally been, quote unquote, women's work, as it were?
Why aren't they paying more? And why is women's work less valued, so-called women's work less valued than something that's
exactly
men's work? I mean,
exactly.
That's...
And I didn't include this in the story, but an industry that's very interesting on that regard is teaching. Mm-hmm. If you look at teaching and the increase in compensation in teaching and the increase in male participation in the teaching field, those lines practically mirror one another.
Really?
And, you know, you look at the country that has the highest paying teacher salary on average is South Korea. That is also the only country in the world that teaching is a male-dominated field. So where
Boy.
Where does that go?
Yeah, really. And what about, I mean, you took a look at nursing in this article.
Yeah, well, that was a happy accident. I knew that I had found these numbers and was interested to see what kind of local awareness there was about it. Mm-hmm. And it was actually when I was down at Riverbridge in Glenwood speaking with some of the same I hate to say SANE nurses because that's redundant, but the nurses mm-hmm. who are SANE certified, as right. it were. And in that conversation, I mentioned this piece. And that's when Valerie told me about that survey. And she was so surprised. She was as taken aback to learn in her own field that there was this discrepancy as I was to see the overarching numbers before. And, you know, you look at miscellaneous manager. Well, what does that mean? But you look at management, you look at retail supervisors. I mean, this is kind of apples to apples stuff. This is not, oh, well, of course, the social worker isn't going to make as much as the economist and then call it, quote unquote, social sciences. Mm-hmm. These are, you know,
so what
similar
did you
fields.
Find? Give us an example of what you found.
Sure. Well,
the paper came out today, and maybe not everybody
came out
has
today,
read this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you look at averages, for instance, in that miscellaneous manager role, mm-hmm. there is a $43,000 annual discrepancy between averages. A man versus a man versus a woman.
$43,000
a year. And
holy cow. So you're saying that for miscellaneous manager,
right,
which is, what do you think a miscellaneous manager is? Like manager for
above a supervisor
small,
role.
Okay. For a small retail store or retail chain, copy, Walmart, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got the male miscellaneous manager makes anywhere between $75,000 and $111,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman in the same category typically earns between $38,000 and $63,000 a year.
It's a major difference.
Wow.
That's a major difference.
Well, and that's not national numbers we're playing with here. We're playing with local numbers.
This is Garfield County?
Yes.
So you can say, oh, it's not this big faraway thing. This is something that you're looking at right here, right now.
Absolutely. And
that's
what surprised
us. These are Garfield County numbers.
These are Garfield County numbers. Absolutely.
Okay.
The interesting thing, I mean, I don't know if you want to touch on it, but the Picken County's not quite as, there's not as big a discrepancy, which I found surprising. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, no, I was very pleasantly surprised to learn that.
Talk
Picken
about
County
Picken
does
County
well.
Numbers.
If memory serves, the average male salary is $48,000 and the average female salary is $41,000. So that's okay. A much, much closer gap, as it were, than certainly state or national numbers, and much better than Carco.
Wow. And then in Colorado, there's a huge discrepancy
mm-hmm.
between male and female. And in the U.S., the Colorado discrepancy is bigger than the United States discrepancy across mm-hmm. the country.
And what I find interesting there is, you know, you look at average incomes, and again, it's very easy for people to come back and say, well, there are other factors to take into account. And to which I wonder, well, those larger factors, is it a societal issue? Mm-hmm. You know, women tend to leave work for extended periods of time for family care. Mm-hmm. And so that's detrimental to her lifelong earning capacity because it just kind of sets her back, right? But another thing that, again, I only had so much word count, right. But if you look at men in the workforce, men with children tend to be rewarded in their income. They make on average 15% more than their male counterparts without children. Women, however, it's called the mommy penalty. They on average may earn 3% less than their female counterparts without children.
So you're saying that men with children make more than men than their counterparts mm-hmm. who don't have children.
Exactly.
But reverse that, women with children make less than their counterparts, women without children.
Exactly. So that's we something. Societally need to look in the mirror
now,
a little bit.
Are those Garfield County numbers too?
No, that's national.
Okay. So I just want to remind listeners that this is a call-in show. So if you have something to say about what we're talking about the paper, about women and men and pay inequality, you can give us a call at 963-2976. I'm sitting here with Will Grandbois, editor of the Soper Sun and reporter Megan Tackett. So what I guess was the most surprising that you found in writing this article, Megan?
I think exactly what Will touched on. You know, when you look at these numbers, it's so easy, especially in a place as wonderful as the Roaring Fork Valley, to think that you're protected in this wonderful bubble from every negative aspect of society. And I was so surprised when I realized that these were Garfield County numbers. And these were Garfield County numbers that were showing discrepancies in like work. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, average mm-hmm. incomes. It was average compensation for similar roles.
Yeah, they have a tendency, people have a tendency to dismiss numbers because they are easy to manipulate, right? You know, if you start looking at them critically, if you're, mm-hmm. if you're given the opportunity to play with them yourself, sometimes it's hard to escape the trends you're seeing. And I think that's certainly what I've found through what Megan has done over the last couple of weeks in preparing for this story.
Wow. Well, I'd like to stick with this story. However, you mentioned a story that you did about SANE, sexual assault nurse examiners.
Yes.
And I've done some reporting on SANE over the years as well. Some of the troubles that they've had finding a home in Valley View Hospital, maintaining nurses. Sherry, Garfield County District Attorney Sherry Kaloya sort of resurrected that program, and now it seems it's got a new home.
It does. It does. Riverbridge Center, which is the Child Advocacy Center in Glenwood Springs, they have decided to include the SANE program under their umbrella of programs that they'll be administering. Right now, the actual exams are taking place in Rifle, but later in the year, there will be a facility to perform exams in Glenwood Springs as well, which I think is incredible. Again, you and Will probably know a little bit more history than I do, being kind of the newcomer to the area, other than what I had discussed with Will in the newsroom and read online. But I was really, really surprised to learn that from 2012 to 2015, we didn't have a SANE program. And that to me was kind of insane. And clearly to the former DA as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to find that Riverbridge is going to be able to administer that program. And it's already growing, even as it's getting kind of its feet under it, so to speak. You know, there are currently 4 trained nurses and 6 additional that are in training. So that's going to more than double the number, mm-hmm. which is great because, mm-hmm. you know, they're not on call, as it were. They're available to take calls 24/7. Mm-hmm. But having more forensic nurses available is just going to ensure a more timely turnaround. And what was so enlightening to me was, you know, as a woman, forget being as a journalist, as a woman, I was so thankful for Kelly Hill and Valerie Curry's time to talk to me, because I was learning all kinds of things, and that's what kind of turned the direction of the piece into kind of a myth buster.
Right. I was just going to bring that up. You busted a few myths. Talk about that briefly. There were, it looks like 3 myths that you busted here. One was, in order to receive care, a victim of sexual assault must file a police report. That's a myth.
It is a myth, and it is a myth that in order to contact law enforcement, that automatically means you're going to be filing a police report. Mm-hmm. You call dispatch, guys. Call dispatch if anything has gone awry mm-hmm. in that regard. They will put you in touch directly with Mountain West, Mountain West SANE Alliance, which is the SANE mm-hmm. program, mm-hmm. and they will put you in contact directly. You don't even have to give a name. Okay. You just have to say, this has happened to me. Okay. And one of the other advantages, going into another quote-unquote myth, is if you contact dispatch and they put you directly in touch with Mountain West SANE Alliance, then you're circumventing the hospital, which means you're not going to get a bill. Which means you don't have to fill out an application with the victim's compensation claims, right?
Okay. Boy, that streamlines everything. And so are these what the services that Riverbridge is going to be providing, or the SANE, is it a Riverbridge service?
So that's where it gets a little tricky.
I mean, there are 2 questions coming up here, but it's free, right?
It is free, okay. And it's not technically, so Riverbridge is administering Mountain West SANE Alliance. Okay. But Mountain West SANE Alliance is its own entity, okay. and it will be doing its own separate fundraising to make its goals happen. Okay. It's just under the current umbrella of Riverbridge.
Got it.
So yeah, they're 2 separate entities, but under one umbrella, if that makes sense.
So the services, the SANE services, will be free. Mm-hmm. And then another myth that you busted was that the SANE exams have to be performed within 24 hours to be effective.
Yes.
That's inaccurate.
Yes. And that was one of the big misnomers out there that is kind of has devastating implications, because if you think about how many women, and we discussed this with the nurses, in the aftermath of trauma, you don't really know what you want. You know, you're literally in shock. But usually what you want is to at least take a shower. And before Mountain West SANE Alliance was here, when we had that gap, if you were in that shock and you did feel like, oh no, I have to get this done, you were schlepping 70 miles or more.
That's right.
To Grand Junction or Frisco.
Frisco. Oh, there was one in Frisco. That's
exactly.
Right. Okay.
And how many reports didn't happen because of that travel burden, really.
Right.
And it is,
you were traveling with law enforcement. Yeah,
exactly.
It was pretty,
exactly.
Pretty rough.
So, you know, that is a misnomer. Technically, you have within 5 days to collect evidence.
Okay.
There's two different purposes for an exam. One is evidence collection and one is just your health. So if you are thinking more on the health side of things, you absolutely have those 5 days, and they will give you not a prescription but actual medication to prevent pregnancies and STIs. So that's also important.
Morning after pill, that kind of thing.
And if you want evidence collection, though, if you are like, no, I want to pursue this, then even though you have 5 days, it is recommended immediate is better. There is DNA evidence that can be lost in showering, et cetera.
Right. I want to remind listeners, it's 4:16. You're listening to KDNK. This is Everything Under the Sun, a new public affairs show that gives listeners an ability to call in and talk with Will Grandbois of the Soper Sun, Megan Tackett, reporter for the Soper Sun, about issues in the paper or whatever.
Not. Yeah.
Or not. Okay. You know, there's one more myth that you busted, and then I want to move into a different story, that rape kits are expensive and often go unprocessed.
Yes.
That's been an issue, you know. So I wonder exactly how much of a myth that is.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I had definitely heard that and have read very verified reports of that being an issue in other parts of this country, particularly in Michigan. There was a big to-do about it. So I was really pleasantly surprised again to learn that, according to Colorado law, law enforcement absolutely has to turn over those kits within 21 days.
Okay.
And, you know, something, accountability, and is that really happening every single time, is definitely an unknown, which is all the more reason to have a SANE program, because SANE programs provide that accountability. You've got an advocate.
Okay. Well, that's a great story, Megan, and glad that you guys put that in the paper this week. There's one more story. Well, there are several stories in here, but Will, you took a look at something that's going on with the Carbondale Post Office. There's a staff shortage there, and people are getting their mail late. What's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, after all that, it sounds kind of trivial, but
it's not.
You know, it is an important service, and so I've been hearing whispers or shouts, I guess, for a few weeks now, that people are having some frustration with their mail service, and especially now that the holidays are over, there's sort of this expectation that things should be coming in on time, people should be getting the right mail at the right time, and that hasn't always been happening. And so I spoke with the postmaster and sort of came to the conclusion that the real trouble is a staffing shortage. There had a few people leave 3 or 4 months ago to pursue all their opportunities. Then they had some illness, some injuries, and they went into the holidays really heavily understaffed. And so they're kind of trying to climb out of that. They're still borrowing people from other jurisdictions. They're still putting clerks and janitors out on the routes now and again.
Oh, wow.
Reza himself is doing some of the drop-offs.
The postmaster.
Yes. And so they're struggling, but so are the people who are trying to get their mail in.
So are they hiring?
They are. I mean, that banner is pretty much always up there. And you know, it sounds like many industries around here, they have trouble with hiring because of the high cost of living, and the wages are they're competitive, I guess.
They're
not you're not going to strike it rich with an introductory job at the post office. But if you start with a bachelor's degree and they're or even a high school diploma, and you're going to get $16 an hour in free training and government benefits, mm-hmm. that seems like a pretty good sell to me. So they're always hiring. They are really hiring now.
I wonder, do they pay men and women the same?
You know, I don't know.
Hopefully they do now.
Yeah, we didn't check in on the post office specifically. So that's an interesting crossover there. But in any case, the card that I was handed mm-hmm. gave, very fixed starting wages. So right. If there are discrepancies, presumably they would be further on up the ladder as mm-hmm. you asked for raises.
So it sounds like this is unique to the Carbondale Post Office. It's not something that's happening regionally or...
That's what I'm told. You know, the Carbondale Post Office is bearing the brunt of at least the current shortage. Mm-hmm. The hiring difficulty, it sounds like, is present throughout at least the Valley. The current crunch, in fact, we're even borrowing from some not so far away post offices that presumably are doing better, or they mm-hmm. wouldn't be able to spare somebody to help out. And in some cases... it sounds like they have the manpower, but if you're not trained to a route and you don't know the ins and outs of, the Carbondale Senior Housing mm-hmm. Complex, which has several addresses and can be kind of confusing, even, when I go in there to try to do an interview, mm-hmm. I can get a little lost. Or it sounds like they only have one employee who's able to do bulk mailing. So Carbondale Arts has been having trouble getting their, notices of an upcoming gallery opening mm-hmm. out. So there are some challenges there that just raw numbers can't deal with. You kind of need that experience. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it seems like one of the folks who was real experienced has been doing a lot of the commercial drop-offs for years is back from an injury, or at least in the process of coming back. So you could hear some celebration going on over at the Carbondale Animal Hospital. They're real pleased to have their carrier back. And it doesn't sound like any of this turned into kind of a life and death situation. Medications were getting taken care of. And in many cases, people weren't even noticing. I called Heritage Park and they said, oh, we're actually getting our mail a little earlier than usual.
Okay.
So, it hasn't been an across the board. Mm-hmm, everybody's having mm-hmm. some negative experiences. But when you have people who put the word out saying, we went 4 days without mail delivery, or, I myself personally noticed mail not come in for a couple of days and mm-hmm. then suddenly pop into the box on Sunday, or mm-hmm. maybe it happened late Saturday. Mm-hmm. There's a sense that the reliability isn't there. And even if the immediate right. outcomes aren't so problematic, that's something that you really do want kind of at your back.
Right. I mean, we automatically depend on the mail. So we sort of take it for granted. But it sounds like they're sort of heading out of a difficult period.
It sounds like it. Okay. And there's a lot of sympathy for the folks. Everybody I talked to really wanted to emphasize, we're not blaming the carriers. We see them putting in long hours. We mm-hmm. feel for them. So hopefully they're coming up on a relief for them too, because they can't keep it up. They can't keep up borrowing. They can't keep up 12-hour days. No. That's a lot to ask of anybody. So, yes, hopefully with some folks returning from sick leave or injuries, that will help. And then, hopefully a few people read our story or see the banner and go in and apply for a job. A month from now, they're all trained up and ready to go.
Well, we just have a few minutes left. And something else that I noticed in the paper, listeners can hear me shuffling around, is the Roaring Fork High School Rampage.
Yeah.
I love the Rampage.
We do too.
And it's what do you call that?
Spread.
Yes, two-page spread. The 2017 Roaring Fork High School highlights and the 2018 RFHS predictions. Uh-huh. And basically, for listeners who haven't looked at the paper yet, they're just little brief one-liners attributed to a certain person, or maybe even just an anonymous person, about what they think the highlights of the school year were last year and some predictions for this year. And I just thought maybe we could pick a favorite prediction and sort of go out with that. There are several favorite predictions. Anonymous said that he/she will finally receive their letter from from Hogwarts. I thought that was great. And robots are going to take over, says Lance Wiedemann. It's going to be wild. Do you guys have any favorite predictions?
You know, I haven't had a chance to read through the whole thing yet. there are some good ones in there. I like that Patrick Kelleher really hedged his bets with dinosaurs are not going to come back to life.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think he's probably going to be right on that front. Yes. Although there's always cloning as a possibility.
Yes.
Well, I think he was really going to war with Lucas Bench, who said dinosaurs will come back to life.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. They might have to have a discussion on that. We might give him point counterpoint kind of column
dueling
in
columns.
The not so future distant future.
Yeah. Right, and Irving Onchando says, I will get my driver's license back. Mm-hmm. All right, go.
There's a story back there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a story with all of that stuff. So I hope that people will take a look at the Rampage. Those students do such a great job on this. There's a lot of humor in it. There's some serious stuff about school and sports and horoscopes.
Yeah, they do a great job.
How come the Soap or Sun doesn't normally do horoscopes?
You know,
any idea?
No, we don't have somebody to do it.
You give us a call if you're
interested in making that happen, or comics, or a word search. You know, we're
now that
we're
could
open.
Be good additions
comics.
To our little literary pages
yeah,
yet
we're,
to be
we're
named.
We're bringing our literary page out. Hopefully, we'll have our next edition coming up with the
literary
the
first
page. Friday. Yeah, we're continuing. We have an ongoing. Story that we're going to be telling with the assistance of some folks. With maybe some visual arts, some poetry. Send us your stuff. We'd really like to see some creativity and getting outside the bounds of, you know, we've been talking hard news all afternoon, and that's great. That's an important part of our role, but we also want to be an opportunity to feature other talents, and not all of those are nonfiction, as it were.
So the story is like a progressive story.
That's the goal.
And that's once a month? That's going to be in the paper once a month?
That's the goal. I have had some interest expressed from a local writing teacher that we might have some mm-hmm. students participating in it. I know that Jane, our photographer, was mm-hmm. inspired and maybe, in fact, writing the next chapter. But we really do want to get people involved and give them a chance to write. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So look for it, and I believe it's going to be the February 1st issue. We'll have the next chapter.
Okay, that sounds great. Any stories that you're working on right now that you want to
talk about? Wouldn't it?
I can't do that.
But I would like to, if we got a moment here, I would like to highlight, we do have a new advertising manager, we don't call him salesperson, Carol Fabian, should be hitting the streets and helping. She's still got some help from Debbie Brule, who's been graciously mm-hmm. filling in, and look for her out there selling ads.
Okay, great. Well, Will Grandbois and Megan Tackett of the Soap or Sun, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for putting out a great paper this week. It is now out on newsstands and every place else.
And online,
today.
Yeah.
Online, yeah.
Get
SoapOrSun.com.
Com.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.